Picture this. You are standing somewhere in the Fujian province of China, right in the middle of the dead of summer.
Oh, brutal heat.
Yeah, exactly. The midday sun is just beating down, baking the concrete beneath your feet. But, the heat isn't even the most intense thing about where you are right now.
Right.
You're standing inside the 1,000 kilovolt Changtai ultra high voltage substation, and directly above your head, running through these cables that are no thicker than your finger, is 1 million volts of electricity.
It is, well, it's an environment that actively fights human biology just by existing.
Yeah.
I mean, the electromagnetic field in a facility like that is so unimaginably strong that if you walked in there wearing glasses, you would literally feel the metal frames physically vibrating against your temples.
Ugh, that's completely unnerving. It sounds
It
terrifying.
really is.
But in the scenario we are looking at today, you aren't actually walking in there. Instead, there's this six-legged machine just crunching over the gravel.
Right, a crawler.
It steps into the mud, pulls its mechanical foot out, and flawlessly climbs a set of these really steep, rain-slicked metal stairs.
Which is hard enough for a person to do.
Exactly. And it balances its weight on three legs, while the other three actively search for the next secure foothold. It's navigating through, I think the sources said, more than 2,000 distinct inspection points. And it's doing all of this without a human operator sweating in the heat or, risking their life under those active power lines.
And that's really the core of what we're looking at today. We're looking at an absolute explosion in scale that is fundamentally rewriting the economics of industrial safety.
Yeah.
I mean, we've crossed this critical threshold in 2026 where these robots are no longer just, experimental viral video novelties. They have been officially recategorized as indispensable heavy-duty industrial equipment.
Right. And to understand the sheer magnitude of this shift, we have to look at a pretty monumental piece of news from April 22nd, 2026. So China's State Grid, which is the largest state-owned electric utility company in the country, they circulated this internal directive. It was titled the 2026 Embodied AI Development Plan.
Which is a huge
A
deal.
massive deal. They announced they are buying roughly 8,500 robots in a single year. And this is backed by a budget of 6.8 billion RMB.
Right.
Just to put that massive number in perspective for you listening, that is equivalent to about 1.3 trillion Korean won. It's literally the largest single corporate robot procurement in history.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, let's do it. To really grasp the gravity of this, we need to break down how that 6.8 billion RMB is actually being deployed, because it's not all just going to one
All right,
thing.
how does it break down?
So out of that total, about 1 billion is set aside for research, development, and talent acquisition.
Okay, so the brain power.
Exactly. That leaves 5.8 billion purely for hardware, like the metal and silicon actually hitting the ground. They are spending 1.5 billion on 5,000 quadruped
So
robots.
those are the robot dogs.
Yep, the dogs.
Then another 1.8 billion is allocated for 3,000 dual arm inspection robots. But I mean, the most staggering figure is the final allocation. The remaining 2.5 billion RMB is being spent on just 500 humanoid robots.
Wait, hold on. Let me do the math on that. 2.5 billion for 500 robots, which means those 500 humanoid robots cost around 5 million RMB each.
Yeah, that's nearly 950 million Korean won per single robot.
That is insane.
It sounds like an astronomical price tag, right? Until you look at the specific engineering application. What's fascinating here is that these humanoids are designed exclusively for what they call live line work.
Okay, what does that actually mean in practice?
It means they are repairing and maintaining these massive high voltage power lines without the utility company shutting the power off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so hundreds of thousands of volts are actively flowing through the system while these mechanical hands are physically replacing components.
See, I'm trying to wrap my head around the physics of that. Like, how does a machine made of highly conductive metal and, incredibly sensitive silicon microchips literally grab a million volt power line without instantly melting into a puddle of slag?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But it basically comes down to this principle called equipotential bonding.
Okay.
So when a human does this job, they wear this special suit interwoven with microscopic metal threads. It's essentially a wearable Faraday cage.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so the suit bonds them to the electrical potential of the wire. They basically become like a bird sitting on a power line. The electricity doesn't flow through them because they aren't grounded, They
Yeah.
simply match the voltage of the wire.
Right, like a bird on a wire.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do they do that for a robot?
For a humanoid robot, the engineers actually build this Faraday cage principle directly into the chassis. The exterior metal skin is designed to match the electrical potential of the live line the exact moment it makes contact. Meanwhile, the internal computing core, the brain, is shielded in these heavily insulated, electromagnetically isolated chambers.
That is just incredible engineering. And look, I understand the safety argument here. For a human worker, live line maintenance offers literally zero margin for error.
Yeah, one mistake and it's over.
Right. One slip of the hand means instant death. So removing humans from that equation is a massive win. But, you know, I want to challenge the economics of this a little bit.
Sure.
Spending 5 million RMB on a single robot is, well, it's like a utility company buying a fleet of ultra-luxury supercars for their maintenance crews. At some point, the accountants have to be sweating, right? Does the math actually justify this, or is this just a massive state-funded flex of technological muscle?
That's a really fair question.
Yeah.
But the utility company obviously had to justify that exact capital expenditure internally, and their math shows a surprisingly aggressive return on investment.
Really? How so?
Well, replacing a human worker on these highly specialized high-risk tasks saves them between 500,000 and 800,000 RMB in labor and insurance costs annually.
Okay, so that adds up fast.
Exactly. That puts the payback period at roughly 2 to 3 years per robot.
Oh, wow.
And for heavy industrial equipment, a 3-year payback is highly attractive. But the thing is, the labor savings are just the floor.
Yeah.
The real return comes in operational efficiency.
Right.
State Grid calculates that their overall inspection efficiency jumps by a factor of 5. Plus, fault handling, like identifying a severed line and initiating the physical fix, is 60% faster.
That is wild. But you know, that 5x leap in efficiency doesn't just happen because a robot walks slightly faster than a human.
No, definitely not.
It happens because this huge capital injection is manifesting as this incredibly dense, coordinated web of technology. The industry sources refer to it as the air ground fixed system.
Yeah, it's a completely tri-level approach to infrastructure management. So in the air, you have these autonomous drones basically mapping the macro environment.
Mm.
On the ground, you have the multi-legged robots navigating the actual terrain. And then the fixed layer relies on stationary CCTV cameras and various environmental sensors.
Right. And when you link these three layers through a central AI, the results we're seeing in the reports are just staggering. Like down in Zhejiang province at the Lanting substation, deploying this integrated system pushed their defect identification rate over 95%.
That's huge.
It is. And at the Hezhou substation, the system checked 20,000 individual points of data in just 2.5 hours. The reports noted a human crew would take 10 times as long to perform those exact same checks.
It completely redefines the timeline of a workday.
Exactly. And over at the Anfu substation, a job that used to take human workers 2 full days is now completed by a swarm of track robots, robot dogs, and drones in just 3 hours.
It's wild. But, you know, those numbers are wild for surface-level operations. I want to take us out of the sunshine for a minute and down into an environment that is arguably much more claustrophobic.
Okay, where are we heading?
The Shandong Tunnel in the Shangyan New Area. I want you to imagine a 16.2 kilometer long, highly enclosed underground structure. It is pitch black. It is incredibly narrow.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, and because of all the heavy equipment down there, you have a constant lingering risk of toxic gas leaks.
Okay, yeah, that is definitely not a place you want a human being to hang out in.
Right, so previously, a 2-person human crew would take 20 exhausting hours just to walk and inspect that single tunnel one time.
20 hours.
20 hours. But now they've deployed a swarm of 5 quadruped robots called Lynxy. And these are fundamentally different from surface robots.
How so?
Well, they are equipped with advanced thermal imaging to check for overheating cable joints in the dark. They carry active gas detectors to literally sniff out environmental hazards. They even feature these extendable mechanical arms that reach out and physically press against the heavy cables.
Wait, why do they press the cables?
To check for partial electrical discharge. They're actually testing the physical integrity of the insulation.
That is so cool. It really reminds me of like a highly efficient Formula One pit crew.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, because instead of one person slowly walking the length of the car to check the tires, and then the engine, and then the aero, you have this synchronized team that just swarms the problem. So these 5 Lynxy robots basically turn that 20-hour human slog into a 3-hour sprint.
Exactly.
And what's crazy is it is entirely hands-off. If one of the robots sees its battery dip below 25%, it doesn't need to, like, ask for permission.
Right.
It autonomously breaks off from the pack, navigates back to a subterranean charging station, and plugs itself in.
Right. The system manages itself.
Yeah. And meanwhile, all that thermal and gas data it collected is synced back to a human control room on the surface in under a minute.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this tunnel deployment really highlights a massive geopolitical and industrial divergence.
No, interesting. How do you mean?
Well, look at countries like South Korea. Their national utility company, KPMCO, is highly interested in robotic integration. They know it's the future.
Sure.
But they are largely constrained by small-scale pilot programs, tighter budgets, and pretty restrictive regulatory sandboxes.
They're testing the waters.
Right. Meanwhile, China is utilizing state capital to unilaterally force massive, immediate demand. I mean, buying 8,500 robots at once drives down the manufacturing cost per unit across their entire supply chain.
Because of the scale.
Exactly. And more importantly, it feeds tens of thousands of hours of real-world high-stakes operational data back into their AI algorithms. By the time other nations are finally ready to scale out of their pilot programs, China's algorithms will have already been battle-tested in the harshest environments on Earth.
Wow.
Yeah, they're actively positioning themselves to dictate the global industry standards.
Okay, so we've covered substations and underground tunnels, but, you know, as dangerous as those places are, they are still relatively structured environments, right? Like, a tunnel has walls.
Yeah.
A substation has defined flat pathways.
That's true.
If they've mastered these predictable geometries, it seems like the only thing holding them back from total automation is unpredictable, chaotic environments.
Oh, absolutely. And that is the ultimate proving ground for embodied AI.
Actually,
the 2025 World Robot Conference explicitly named petrochemical and power grid operations, along with emergency rescue, as the top scenarios for humanoids and quadrupeds.
Makes sense.
The logic is pretty simple. If a machine can survive the unstructured chaos of a disaster zone or a chemical plant, it can survive pretty much anywhere.
Let me paint a picture of unstructured chaos for you listening. Think about the inside of a thermal power plant boiler room.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you are dealing with steep, incredibly slippery metal grating stairs. The kind of stairs where even a highly coordinated human absolutely needs to white-knuckle the handrails just to avoid falling backwards. At extreme high heat, suffocating humidity, and random debris littering the walkways.
This is a nightmare for traditional robotics.
Exactly. Traditional robots with wheels or tracks are utterly useless here. They literally wouldn't make it past the front door.
Right. And this is where companies like Deep Robotics really come into play. They're also known as Yunshen Chu in China, and they currently hold a staggering 85% market share in the country's power inspection sector.
85%? That's a near monopoly.
It really is. They were founded by Zhu Kuiguo from Zhejiang University, and they have basically built their entire reputation on mastering these exact chaotic environments you just described.
Well, the locomotion alone is impressive, getting up those stairs, but there is an engineering detail in the research here that completely blew my mind.
The acoustic stuff.
Yes. These robots aren't just looking around with cameras, they are actively listening. They use AI acoustic models to listen to the machinery around them, and they're trained to hear the microscopic, subtle, abnormal noise of a failing motor or a stressed turbine.
And we have to emphasize, training an AI to do that in a boiler room is a monumental task.
Oh, I bet.
Because the ambient noise in a thermal power plant is deafening. You have the constant roar of combustion, the hiss of high-pressure steam, the vibration of the floorboards.
It's just a wall of sound.
Exactly. The engineers have to train the acoustic model to filter out, like, 100 decibels of chaotic background noise just to isolate the tiny 2-decibel grinding sound of a single ball bearing starting to fail inside a water pump.
It's like taking that veteran mechanic you might know, you know, the guy who have been working on cars for 40 years and digitizing him.
Yeah.
You pull into his shop, pop the hood, and he just listens to the engine for 3 seconds and tells you exactly which belt is loose or which valve is ticking. He doesn't even need his tools.
Such a good comparison.
Deep robotics is basically programming that decades-deep human intuition into a machine. And here's where it gets really interesting. When you combine that acoustic intuition with visual data, like using a camera to read the physical oil levels on an old analog dial, their smart alert accuracy pushes past 90%.
Wow.
They are catching the tiny vibrations that a human inspector, who is probably exhausted by the heat and the noise, would most certainly miss.
And the implications of that multimodal environmental awareness extend far beyond just power plants. Deep Robotics has a model called the Juying X-20, which is designed specifically as a vanguard for disaster rescue.
Okay, so we're talking collapsed buildings.
Collapsed highway tunnels, earthquake zones, highly toxic chemical spills, basically places where human first responders hesitate to enter because the structural integrity is entirely unknown.
Right, so you send the machine in first, let it take the risk.
Exactly. The X-20 enters the collapse zone and uses 3D LiDAR and SLAM.
What's SLAM again?
It stands for Simultaneous Localization and Mapping. Basically, even in pitch black smoke where traditional cameras are completely blind, the robot fires millions of laser pulses a second to dynamically build a point cloud 3D map of the disaster zone in real time.
That is wild.
And it sends that structural map along with toxic gas readings and temperature distributions right back to the human commanders outside.
That is just incredible tech. And another major player doing this kind of extreme environmental work is Unitree, right? With their industrial B2 quadruped robot.
Oh, the B2. Yes.
The specs on the B2 border on the absurd. The sources say it can casually walk up 40-centimeter high stairs, and it holds an IP67 rating.
Right. And just to give some mechanical context to an IP67 rating for our listeners, the 6 fin means it is entirely dust tight. Nothing is getting in.
Okay.
But the 7 is the crucial part here. It means the robot can be completely submerged in a meter of water for 30 minutes without failing.
Underwater.
Yeah. The joints have these specialized rubberized gaskets, and the internal electronics are potted. That means they are encased in a solid resin compound, so water literally has nowhere to go, even if it somehow breaches the outer shell.
So it can just wade through a flooded, muddy cable tunnel and keep working.
Exactly.
But, you know, there is a slightly sobering detail regarding the Unitree B2 that we found in the reports. It isn't just checking municipal cables. It was officially deployed in the Golden Dragon 2024 joint military drill with Cambodia.
Ah, right.
Yeah, the robot was used to scan active battlefield environments and assist in strike coordination.
And see, that perfectly illustrates the concept of dual-use technology. A robot with the mechanical durability to survive a flooded industrial tunnel is, by definition, robust enough to survive a muddy, chaotic combat zone.
Yeah, the Venn diagram is basically a circle.
The civilian and military applications are completely intertwined when you reach this level of hardware resilience.
It's definitely a heavy thought to sit with. But if we are exploring the fine line between cutting-edge civilian tech and absolute environmental volatility, we have to look at what is arguably the most dangerous industrial space on Earth. Deep underground coal mines.
Oh, absolutely. The conditions in a deep coal mine are uniquely terrifying from an engineering perspective. I mean, you have these highly confined spaces filled with combustible methane gas and thick suspended coal dust.
A literal powder keg.
Exactly. In that environment, a single microscopic static spark from an unsealed electric motor or a battery connector can trigger a massive catastrophic explosion.
So how do you even put a walking computer, which is basically filled with spinning motors and lithium batteries, into a room where a static shock causes the air itself to catch fire?
It's incredibly difficult. It requires an entirely different engineering discipline called intrinsic safety. You can't just put a standard robot down there. The engineers have to design the internal circuitry so that the electrical energy is severely limited.
Okay.
So even if the robot shorts out, it physically cannot generate enough thermal energy to ignite the methane.
That's brilliant.
And beyond that, the critical components are housed in what they call purged enclosures. They pump the inside of the robot with inert gas at a higher pressure than the outside air.
Oh, so it pushes out.
Exactly. If there is a microscopic crack in the armor, the inert gas pushes out, preventing the explosive coal dust from ever getting in.
And it works. I mean, in January 2026, the Chongqing Research Institute successfully deployed a smart gas patrol robot cluster at the Qinglongxi coal mine. They paired these intrinsically safe rovers with a massive safety AI model, completely replacing human gas inspectors. It provides 24-hour automated cross-verified monitoring of gas level.
Which is huge for safety.
Totally. And furthermore, at the Hanjiwan mine, a job inspecting central underground substations that previously required 3 shifts of human workers taking 2 hours per inspection, that is now done by a robot in just 30 minutes.
And this is exactly why we are seeing China capture over 35% of the $10 billion global smart inspection robot market as of 2025.
Yeah.
They are conquering these extreme environments.
It sounds invincible, honestly, but I have to ask the grounded question here for you listening. So what does this all mean? Like, what happens when it breaks an ankle?
Right.
What happens when a multi-million dollar machine suffers a glitch in a gas-filled cavern or under a million-volt power grid? Is this actually a flawless victory for automation, or is there a hidden catch in the data?
There is absolutely a catch. And to be fair, the industry is well aware of their vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they have built an incredible data moat through what they call real scene, real training. Hmm. They are learning by just throwing massive amounts of hardware at the problem.
Right.
But there are significant cracks in the armor. Currently, the environmental adaptability of these robots is deeply tied to the specific scenarios they have been trained on.
Okay, so they're specialized.
Highly specialized. Mm. They are incredible at navigating the boiler room they know. But if a pipe bursts and the geometry of that boiler room changes drastically overnight, the AI can just freeze up.
Oh, they lack that human ability to just, you know, improvise on the fly.
Precisely that. And more critically, these are highly complex interdependent systems. A tiny failure in a single internal servo motor, a software glitch in the SLAM navigation array, or a blinded thermal sensor can cause the entire machine to fail catastrophically.
A single point of failure.
Yeah. The strategy of throwing robots into danger to save human lives is working today. But the long-term stability and durability of these complex fleets operating in isolation remains a giant question mark.
It really is a high-wire act.
Which brings us to the ultimate synthesis of today's deep dive. What we've uncovered in these 2026 deployments is a massive permanent paradigm shift.
Absolutely.
Robots operating in hazardous fields are no longer treated as quirky science experiments to, you know, test out in a controlled lab. They are categorized as standard essential equipment. And China's strategy of massive-scale, state-funded deployment is buying them the one thing that money usually can't buy.
Mm-hmm.
Decades worth of edge case real-world survival data.
And whether you work in tech, manufacturing, supply chain, or if you are simply a curious observer of where the world is heading, this situation perfectly illustrates a broader truth.
Massive capital, when combined with high-stakes, life-or-death environments, accelerates technological evolution far faster than any safe, controlled laboratory testing ever could.
Yeah.
The data moat they are building right now will define the safety standards of tomorrow.
It literally forces evolution by trial by fire. But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as we wrap up, something that builds on this rush toward total automation. We are racing to replace humans in dangerous environments to save lives, which is an undeniably noble goal.
Of course.
But as these massive autonomous robot fleets completely take over, human workers will inevitably start going into those substations, those underground tunnels, and those extreme boiler rooms.
Right.
We will lose the physical muscle memory of how to navigate them. If, say, 5 or 10 years from now, a massive systemic software crash takes an entire fleet offline, who goes in to fix it? Will we have already lost the generational human knowledge and the physical conditioning required to safely walk into that 1,000 kilovolt Changtai substation without getting ourselves killed?